Counsel the Word, a podcast of the Center for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship. I'm your host, Keith Palmer, and today we're going to be talking about not letting your problems drive your Bible reading. Welcome back to the podcast, and I am thankful to have my friend and brother pastor with me, Dr. Brent Osterberg. He is the elder and preaching pastor at Living Hope Bible Church right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And just thankful, brother, for the conversation. Thankful for your friendship. And we've been doing this a long time together, getting to minister together, our churches, and what a privilege it is to get to have another conversation today.
I'm happy to be here as always. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. So this is a great topic. We were just talking about, I think this came up when we were doing another podcast, but isn't it true that we can let so much of life dictate how we read our Bibles and where we go in our Bibles? And to some degree, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but let's think about this a little more critically today. So what are some ways in which our counselees can let their problems dictate the way they read the Bible? In ways that we might want to consider?
Yeah, thank you. I think that, first of all, we should say that our problems can lead us to a fix-it mentality when it comes to reading our Bibles. Now, listen, like you alluded to just a moment ago, it's understandable that when we're struggling, we ought to turn to the Lord. I hope that when we are in a sin struggle or a trial struggle, that we run back to Scripture and we're desperately seeking the Lord in that. I think there's something good and right about that impulse, that catalyst of a problem driving us back to the Word. But we have to be careful that we're not consumed with our problem and therefore just want relief, so that we seek the Scriptures just looking for something that we can think about, something that we can pray that just make the discomfort go away. Because if we're consumed with our problem, all we want is relief, then that keeps self at the center of our Bible reading. And as a result, we can have a tendency toward cherry picking verses that seem to fit our particular problem, or cherry picking even books of the Bible, avoiding others, not having verses being read in context, just so we can find the solution to the problem. And we end up treating the Bible more like a reference work, right? Just like a concordance, instead of this canon of Scripture that's all meant for us to draw near to God and to live our lives following Him and exalting Him. And so that's one of the dangers of making our Bible reading solution-oriented, or having a fix-it mentality. But also, I would think that we need to be careful that we don't let our Bible reading just be something that's dutiful, like I'm just trying to show my spouse that I'm taking this seriously. All right, so yeah, I'm reading my Bible, and I want to show other people in my life that are concerned about me that I'm really on it this time. I'm serious about taking care of this problem, and that ends up having a horizontal perspective, just person to person, and it kind of cuts God out of the equation. So it's not vertical, but just horizontal. We're trying to please another person, therefore we're in the Bible doing what we need to do to check off that to-do list to get to the solution, or so that person will start accepting us again or forgive us. And so with both of those dangers, I think that we jump straight into application. We don't give due diligence to observing the text. We don't give due diligence to understanding its meaning. We're simply just looking for the application, or even motivated in the wrong way toward self instead of the Lord.
No, that's really helpful, because at first glance, it's like you said, you know, we ought to turn to the Lord. We ought to turn to the Word when we're struggling with a problem. But what you're saying is there's a wise and maybe a foolish, or some foolish ways that we can do that actually undermine the care and help that God has for us in His Word. So we have to do it correctly, do it wisely, do it with the right motive. So no, that's really, really helpful. So let's flip it around now. If those are some of the things we want to avoid, give us some insight on how we ought to turn to Scripture in a wise way. How would we tell our counselees, how would we help them to read their Bibles and redirect that focus?
Good. Yeah. Obviously, the Scriptures are God-centered. They're a revelation of God to us. He's the hero. He's always the hero. Whatever book of the Bible you're dealing with, he is the focus. Even when we're dealing with the book of Esther that doesn't mention the name of God, he's obviously so there providentially, right? It makes me think of, Proverbs 9:10, where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why is it that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Because if we get that right, if we have him as our priority, then we're set in the right direction when it comes to how we live our lives, right? And so we ought to be looking for his glory. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18, right? We all with unveiled face as beholding the glory of the Lord. And if you look at that, that context there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the glory of the Lord is the new covenant. And so as we're looking in scripture, because we can't see the glory visually, we're looking at the glory on the page of scripture of the new covenant of the gospel. Then what happens is we're transformed into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to the next as the Holy Spirit uses the word for that purpose. So look for glory, have that dictate your Bible reading, and also to know Christ. Think of Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Paul says that he counts everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, right? He understands how much more valuable it is to know Christ than to simply have a list of credentials that he could boast in. Or think of this. I was reminded of a stanza in Psalm 119. Another reason we ought to read scripture is that we ought to enjoy God. Right. So this is Psalm 119, 162 through 164. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day, I praise you for your righteous rules. It makes me think of George Mueller. I've read John Piper has written on how Mueller had this way of looking at the Bible. But he decided that he was going to read the Bible in the mornings and he wasn't going to stop reading until his heart was happy in God. And that can be a motivation, should be a motivation for us as well. And so, again, we're God-centered. We're Christ-focused in this, right? We want to read the Bible also to know how to love Jesus. If he says in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, we need to know what those commandments are so we can love our Savior. We need to discover in the scriptures how to trust him and what it means to trust him and what in him calls us to trust him, right? And it reminds me of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Imagine being in his position about 13 years. He was either enslaved or in prison. And yet when he comes to a place where he can heap vengeance upon his brothers for the way that they treated him, he says, I know you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He wasn't consumed with bitterness, but rather you can see how he had been thinking about the sovereignty of God and his mind must have been focused on God all those years for him to come out of that and not simply wipe out his brothers. And he also must have been meditating on God deeply because whenever he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? His focus is so God-centered because he has been, no doubt, meditating on God. And we need to do the same thing so that we can live in a way that shows that we trust God and love God. So to that end, I would also say, brother, that counselors need to read their Bibles in context. Yeah. I think we read every book of the Bible as inspired, inerrant, and sufficient. We need that balance. We need that context. We don't need to cherry pick verses, and we don't need to cherry pick books of the Bible. God intends for us to have all of it so that we can know him and follow him. So we turn our counselees a lot to Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 33 for instructions on husbands and wives. Wives submitting to their husbands and husbands and loving their wives like Christ loved the church. That's a go-to passage when we're doing marriage counseling. But before that, if we're reading in context, you got chapter 5, verse 18, which says, be filled with the Spirit. So if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, then we're going to love our wives like Christ loved the church, and wives are going to submit to their husbands. And you go back even further than that, then you find out that the first three chapters of Ephesians are all who we are in Christ, what we've been given in Christ. We find out kind of the big main focus of Ephesians is found in chapter 2, verse 7, that we're raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ. Meaning, the whole reason why he saved us and brought us together in the church is so that we would display him, his wisdom, his grace, his glory. And we do that as we're filled with the Spirit and we walk by the Spirit and loving each other in our households and within the local church. And so that gives us a lot of good context for understanding the application. We don't jump to application, but we've got observation and we've got meaning before that.
Yeah. Yeah, good hermeneutics, right? And I know you and I stress that in our counseling training, but just learning how to rightly interpret the Bible, read the Bible. And tell me, as we think about just some practical implications here, what I hear you saying is that that may mean that we need to give maybe larger portions of Scripture so that people can get that context, appreciate that, maybe give them some tools to understand historical background or, you know, like a study Bible that can help with some interpretive issues, rather than just focus on the one sort of counseling nugget takeaway. To read the Bible the way it's intended to be read, right? And then interpreting it the way that God intended. And then we move toward, you know, meditation and application. So I think those are some thoughts based on what you're saying. Any other just real practical stuff like that, that maybe you've done in your counseling ministry to try to facilitate this proper reading of and application of Scripture?
Yeah, I think that what you said is perfect as well. We should assign homework assignments that are more, you know, focused on the context and longer portions of Scripture. But maybe you would assign a portion of Scripture, maybe instead of a paragraph or even a verse, a chapter or a couple of chapters, and then have your counselees write down, what does this say about God, right? Read maybe Philippians 4, which we get a lot of to do homework out of in Philippians 4, but maybe assign that and say, let's focus on God. What does it say about God first? Before we get into the do not be anxious about anything, let's remember that Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And then he says, the Lord is near. Okay, so what implications are there in that for us not being anxious? You know, so maybe having them focus on that first before you get into the to do. What does this passage particularly say about God? You could assign well-known texts even and give them an assignment to understand the context. Right. So maybe assign them the book of Ruth, you know, maybe somebody who's dealing with deep sorrow. Or even anger, you'd say, okay, well, let's look at the big picture of Ruth. It's not just a cute love story, but really, if you look at it from beginning to end, it has the bitterness of Naomi and how the Lord, through his loyal love, right? That Hebrew word hesed, through his loyal, steadfast love, brings her from a place of bitterness to a place where she is fulfilled. At the end of the book. And how is it that God does that and using Ruth and using Boaz? And how does that highlight his glory? Maybe you take a familiar text like that, and instead of seeing it as the movies see it, or even in broader evangelical culture sees it, let's look at it with a God-centered lens.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay. Really good. And I think that helps us that counsel. And even just as we read to feed our own hearts, you know, to not go to our favorite books, those easy to apply passages in the epistles, but to read narrative, to read poetry, to read the Psalms and the Proverbs and, you know, and to try to appreciate the breadth and the depth of Scripture in terms of how different genres help us to see the Lord and what he's doing, like you're saying, and even I know sometimes we would say, you know, we want you to read this and just think about the character of God. And they may say, what does that have to do with my problem? You're like, we'll get there, right? But just study to know the Lord, because if you don't know him, you won't trust him. And if you don't trust him, you're not going to listen to what he says and put it into practice. So no, really, really good, man. This is terrific. And I think I'm already thinking about, as we're getting ready to turn the calendar on the new year here as we record this, of how we can read our Bibles even differently, even personally, going into the new year. So do you have any resources that you found that were helpful to you as we try to read our Scriptures, read our Bibles in wise ways as you're helping us here?
Yeah, absolutely. So a resource that's free online that I would point anybody to is the little podcast. It's a video series by John Piper called Look at the Book. And he's always making new videos. What these are is him. All you see is the text of Scripture on the screen, but you hear Piper's voice, and he's got this electronic pen. And he's got a passage of scripture that he's helping you understand the context and the meaning of, but he's circling words and drawing connections between sentences and phrases. And they're about a 10 minute video per video. And he's done hundreds of them now, I think. And he keeps putting out more and more and more. And if you just dedicate yourself to watching that, you can really learn a good hermeneutic and how to study the Bible well. And so I would point that to anybody. Look at the book by John Piper. You can find those on desiringgod.org. Or there's Grasping God's Word, which is a textbook for hermeneutics, understanding how to interpret the scriptures, but it's very user-friendly. And there's even an abridged version of that called A Journey into God's Word. So if you felt like the textbook version was a little too intimidating, you could turn a counselee or to yourself to A Journey into God's Word to help you understand how to understand the context of Scripture in their historical, cultural context. And then how do you derive a proper principle from that text and understand it correctly, and then move from that to how to apply it in our day, in our culture, in our place in history. So yeah, those are some great resources.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really, really appreciate that. And again, I hope that whether our listeners are formally counseling or ministering in their church in a formal way or not, just ministering in the one anothering parts of the church, reading our Bibles personally or with our family. I think these are really helpful insights, Brett, that we can utilize to read our Bibles wisely and the way God intended us to read them, and make sure we're not skipping over that important step that you just were mentioning of interpretation on the road to application.
That's right.
So really, really helpful.
Yeah, and I would say, like, just something that is at the end here, a reminder, we tend to look at Scripture to fix our problems, but if we will look at all of Scripture and have a love for Scripture, that's actually where the peace comes from. So Psalm 119, 165, a good place for us to close. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. And so it's interesting. You don't get there by just looking at a solution-oriented perspective of Scripture, but you're actually going to take all of the Word of God, love it for what it is and who God is in the Scriptures, and that brings you peace.
Yeah, yeah. Peace is not the solving of a problem. Peace is leaning into the Word and loving it, right? So that's amen to that. Well, thank you, brother, for this conversation. The Lord bless you and your ministry there, and thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
For more information about Dr. Brent Osterberg and his ministry at his church there, Living Hope Bible Church, you can visit his website at LHBC Mansfield, as for Living Hope Bible Church, what that stands for, .com, and see their resources there and get to know them. And for more information about the Center for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship, the resources we have, there are hundreds of resources now up there, all for free. You can visit us at thecbcd.org.